Hey guys, it's Sydney here. I just wanted to let you know you can check out dndice.co.uk for some really awesome dice. I just bought this acrylic alchemy set that I've been using a lot, and they're so pretty. It's nice to have something comforting, like nice dice to play with during such sad games. But yeah, make sure you check them out, and you can use the coupon code EncounterRoleplay for 5% off everything, and they really help keep our show going. So we'd really appreciate it if you go show them some love, and please enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turncloaks, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D 6 icon, and I'll be your Dungeon Master and host for today as we have arrived at episode 20 and everyone is still alive. Congratulations, one and all, for making it this far. However, this episode might change a couple of things. So let's go around, let's meet the cast and crew. Who are we? Who are we playing? Let's start today with Sydney. How are you, Sydney?
I am good. I am excited for this and the exploding bucket and the game.
It's the name, the name of this episode, the exploding bucket.
I'm excited for the game that is the foot. So many things are happening. I'm Sydney and I'm playing Ari and she is a half-elf rogue.
Incredible. We also have Josh with us tonight. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the Bucket of Doom. It's going to be loads of fun. Nothing bad ever goes wrong in a heist. Everything will all go exactly how we plan, and that's just the way things will be. Everything's going to be fine. I am playing Luna. He is a human monk, and he is... so much regret. So many bad things are going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fine. We're all going to be fine.
I like this idea of a new short novella that we could write called Alistair Crowe and the Bucket of Doom.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that. Incredible. We also have Tall School with us tonight. Tall School, how are you?
This is going to go so badly. But it's going to be a story, that's for sure. As this bucket explodes, doesn't explode, blows up halfway there. Who knows? You know, the dice will tell. I am playing Alistair Crowe. He is a plague doctor, which in this world is how we translate clerics. He is a wood elf.
Awesome. Yes, players now realizing that they have given me a bomb, which is incredible. We also have Joseph with us tonight. Joseph, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, just wonderful. No reservations at all about going into a heist. Primarily as a prisoner, so most likely handcuffed, hands tied behind our backs, quite literally. So anyways, I'll be playing Tamarin, who's the human ranger of the group with his rabbit foot at his belt and his trusty companion Ari at his side.
Incredible. So yeah, did I ever tell you guys, did you ever hear about what happened to Guy Fawkes and his bomb plot? Yeah, let's see how this one goes. So let's remind ourselves of what happened last time, and let's hand over to Josh to remind us what happened previously on Turncloaks.
Right, so last episode on Turncloaks, we started off with a box of mystery and secrets and terribleness, which was opened, because why would you not open that box? And that was Ori had a box that she was given by the good doctor and wasn't given a key. A key found its way to her through peculiar circumstances. She opened it to find a note that alluded to the fact that he supposedly has a cure, but he will only give it to a select few people he designates. We're not sure why exactly he believes it to be Ori to be one of sort of the key survivors that he will allow to live on in his new kingdom, as he calls it. But this is a thing to be explored. Also, she has a meeting with him in 3 days, but That's presuming she survives 3 days, which is, you know, all up in the air, because Alistair came up with the idea that we would build a homemade bomb out of fat, oil, a bucket, meat sirloins.
Well, when you put it that way,
you make it sound so unrealistic. I did the science, man. The science works.
And sodium daggers. So, yeah, Alistair has used science to science the shit out of this, and he has devised a bomb that we can make out of stuff we could actually lay our hands on at short notice. We went, we got the ingredients, we had a long chat, we sort of tried to figure out where this was going, and maybe we should have spent more time questioning Alistair as opposed to questioning Ori, because now we are building a bomb to go and take on a heist to take down the Barksdale boys.
Yes, and who should arrive at your door but Stony Tim, your old friend and ally, trusted companion of the Turncloaks themselves. So Stony Tim's bowled up. He is inside your safe house with the Barksdale boys, or his crew, as they have, yes, very much so swaggered into your apartment and asked for some tea. Of course, Stony Tim himself, gold teeth, big kind of fur coat on, wolf's head cane, it looks like it's very expensive, top hat on, he is wearing his Sunday best, it would seem. Although, in fact, I have the day as being Monday. I believe that today is Monday.
Wearing his Monday best.
Yes, wearing his Monday best, Stony Tim has arrived. He says, all right then, who wants a fucking tea then, shall we?
Alistair, having put the kettle on, has the tea ready to pour.
He swaggers in with his six gentlemen come in, big tattooed, all armed. They've got kind of like, you know, like jackhammers, heavy clubs on them, even just baseball bats, pieces of wood with nails in them, that kind of thing. And they look ready for a rumble. He says, all right, so how are we all feeling today? Are we all ready for a, you know, a big fucking bust up, then? Yeah?
Quite. We've created a bit of a surprise that we need a bit of your advice on.
Not sure I like surprises. Depends on the type of surprise it is, my little pigeons.
This is a surprise that explodes. I figure that could be quite interesting for, I believe you liked pie. We could make some mincemeat, certainly, with this, if we
get that is a very positioned. Fucking confusing analogy that you've gone with there, mate. I'm not sure I can follow what you're talking about. What's all this nonsense with pies? Now, we're talking about some kind of explosive pie. Is this what we're talking about? Because I'm not too sure what's going on here. I haven't been down to butchers recently. I haven't seen what they got selling, but most of the time it's usually some kind of beef, maybe some onions involved in there. Usually not explosives. Could you explain yourself?
It's actually a bucket.
Fucking hell, it's a fucking bucket.
It's a bucket, yes.
It's a bucket. You got a bucket.
You see...
That's a nice bucket, that is. Why is there so much shit in it?
Well, underneath the ice is oil. As right. The ice melts, the water will sink through the oil, as oil will float. Right. And when the water gets deep enough on the bottom, the metal I've placed at the bottom will react and explode, spreading flaming grease in a large radius from around it.
Right, so why do I want your bucket?
That's what we need to ask you. What we'd like to do is have the guards, perhaps some of Jasper Wick's men, we want them to be close by. We were thinking we have both some sides of beef from Donovan's and...
Apparently. So there is actually beef involved in this as well. There is actually meat. It's an element of meat.
Yes. Or beer.
Right.
Ale, if we think what? That would go better. What so we what? Want them to do is gather around right away because the ice will melt quite quickly.
You want to put meat and beer and oil and ice and grease in a bucket and it's going to blow up. Is that what you're fucking telling me? Because I'm not a scientist myself, but... That doesn't sound particularly explosive. I don't fucking know, though, do I?
He pulls out one of his sodium daggers and using, you know, basically takes off a tiny little chip of it and does not drop it into Stony Tim's tea because that would be bad. He drops it into his own tea and shows how basically it explodes.
Mm-hmm. He kind of like raises his eyebrows. Fucking hell. All right, that's some weird tea you got there.
So
he kind of puts down his cup.
We're going to fill the bottom of the bucket with that strange tea, and it will go off. What I need to know is, what is going to entice the gods to either gather around it? I was thinking if it's a tapped keg of ale, they might gather around all for a drink, or
right.
Even if they put it somewhere that it will explode and cause a fire would be good, but it'd be nice if it took a few of the gods out as well.
Well, there is a storage area where they keep all the alcohol downstairs. I don't know what else they keep down there these days, but I haven't been down there myself, but I know that there is barrels of stuff down there that is likely to explode in a fashion.
Do you think that if it all exploded at once, that it would be containable, or would we all end up going up in a ball of flame?
Mate, I've got no fucking clue what your beer water explosion is going to do down here. Like I said, I'm not a fucking scientist, but I reckon it would blow most of it to smithereens, at the very least, give us an opportunity to go in there and fuck some people up, you know?
Well, then perhaps that's the plan. Instead of trying to take out the guards, that we take out the whole building instead.
Yeah, I mean, if they're fucking scared, they're not going to stay around, are they? Right?
How do we ensure that we either take Jasper Wick out in the explosion, or that he is somewhere that we can get to him so he doesn't run away as well?
Well, he's always locked in our office of his. I reckon we could corner him in there.
Ah.
I got a meeting booked in, you see. I scheduled a fucking meeting tonight with him, you see. So we're going to meet, so I know where he's going to be. Of course, I'm bringing you all along as prisoners, right? And then you're bringing that fucking bucket with you as well.
Yes. Do you have someone who can make sure the bucket gets taken down to storage?
Yeah, I'll get myself a bucket boy. You are down by a bucket boy, points at one of the Barksdale boys, like a really big bruiser type guy. All right. Good. He's the bucket boy now.
Sounds wonderful.
We'll call him Bucket Boy Bill. His name's Bill, I think. Is your name Bill? Good. So that is the plan then in this case. So we've got explosives going on. By the way, interested now, this stuff here, and he points to the bucket, how many buckets of this could you make?
Oh, only about one a day.
And how many days are there in a year? There's at least 400. So, give or take a couple hundred. So, you, my friends, could you teach others how to make them, eh?
Perhaps,
Yeah.
They would need to be schooled. There's a high likelihood you'd blow yourself up in the process.
Well, yeah, give me a couple of little, yeah, like the sound of that. We could make our own fucking school, our own fucking academy, yeah. Yeah, Stony Tim's Academy of Buckets, the Bucket Academy, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that particular enterprise after this current business, because I may want to keep you around.
We could make a bucket list of all the people.
I like that. I like that, a bucket list. Yeah, okay. So, I think we're all fucking ready. You all ready? You ready to kill some people or to be killed yet? Yeah.
No time like the present. The ice is melting, so to speak.
Right, so I best to tie you all up and lead you on the way there, in case anyone spots us on the way there.
Would appreciate loose knots.
There is one man who we have to request is not killed in this.
Yeah, who's that?
He was the butcher. His name's Donovar, and he's a friend of ours who gave us this house. He's in there somewhere, taken prisoner.
All right, well, if he's still there, then what does he look like? Big guy? Small guy? Skinny guy? Bucket guy?
Very big.
He'd fit right in with your friends.
Yes.
Look for another guy that looks like Bucket Boy Bill and don't kill him. All right. They kind of like shrug non-committally, like super non-committally, like, sure. All right, sure thing. No worries. Boys have got it covered. Right, if you would all like to turn around and be roped. Not groped. All right, no groping this time. Looking at you, Bill. I'm looking at you.
Ari will very hesitantly put her hands behind her back now.
Bill looks, he's in a light sweat. They tie your hands together, basically, and push you outside, none too gently, and begin leading you towards Jasper Wick's compound. Stony Tim leads the way, Wolf's Cane tapping along the roads, and no one really disturbs you as you get there. You see the large compound before you once again. You have been here before, of course. And there are two guards on the door.
One of them looks towards Stony Tim as he arrives. He gives him a look and opens the door for him. Looks like they are expecting you all. And yeah, you guys are pushed inside, to the large compound room. And Stony Tim says to one of the guards, "I've got a bucket, mate. All right." And the guard kind of looks at him like, "Excuse me? I've got a bucket that I want put down in the room with all the alcohols. And I want it to be kept there in a condition where no one else touches it." "All right." And the guard says, "Yes. Yes." Basically, like, takes the bucket nervously as Stony Tim just stares him down and begins to move towards a staircase leading downwards as you enter into the main hallway you've been before, where Jasper Wick kind of previously sat on this throne. He's no longer there as it's late. There are other guards around here, of course. As you enter into this compound, a couple of other people looking at you guys. Stony Tim stops. The procession kind of stops. He says, "Right, I guess we fucking wait for the big man to come out, and then we will proceed. You are all filthy prisoners, aren't you?" "Yes, you are." "Oh, you've been so bad. What was it they did again?" "Yeah." No one's replied to him. "Yeah, that is such a crime that we brought them here for." And, you know, a couple of other guards around the corner of the room who are, you know, Jasper Wick's kind of loyalists, you know, give Tim the eye, but they're probably used to his shenanigans at this point. And a few moments later, from a door from near the throne room, Jasper Wick steps out. And he's, of course, live, and he has dice which are kind of running through his fingers. Most of the time, and all coins. He's wearing nice levers. He does have a sword on his hip this time as well. He stares down Stony Tim with cold and calculating eyes. And Stony Tim looks down to the groupie. "All right." Looks back to Jasper. "Hello, Mr. Wick. It is a pleasure as always. I brought with me these prisoners because they fucked up the boxes. You know, those boxes, you know, the big ones with all the figs in and what you wanted all around a sit. Well, they didn't do it very good. And I thought I should bring them in so that you could give them a lesson, by which, of course, I mean vis-a-vis killing them." And Jasper Wick says, "Thank you very much, Mr. Tim." And he says, "You may leave now." And Sorry Tim looks around. "I brought a fucking bucket, mate. I brought a bucket of drinks for us to all celebrate with. All of us. This guy's, we call him Bucket Boy Bill, after the fucking bucket." Jasper Wick kind of looks down at the group of you and kind of sighs. He says, "Fine. Send some men down. They can drink." And he says, yeah, that sounds nice. I'll just wait here then, shall I, for a bit?" And Wick shakes his head. "No, there is no need for that anymore." Stony Tim says, "Right. Well, that makes things a bit awkward, really." "Yeah." He kind of sighs for a minute, kind of looks around him. Jasper Wick's kind of giving him this odd look as there's this odd standoff going as he has been dismissed. But Stony Tim refuses to leave. He's just kind of standing there muttering about his bucket as a couple of guards have gone down with the bucket. "Because you see, the thing was, I was also going to kill you." And at that point, Jasper Wick draws his sword. And from Stony Tim's cane, he draws his sword as well, as his hidden sword is in his wolf's cane. And the two of them launch themselves towards one another with blades. All subterfuge has been blown at this point, as Stony Tim clearly is a little bit insane. However, you do know there are guards down there who are by the buckets of explosives, which are set to go. So if you could get down there, you could probably set the whole thing off. And of course, there are other guards around here that are moving in to attack Stony Tim and his men. So let's roll some initiative, first of all, here.
So Alistair rolled a 7. Yay.
I got a 21. I'm happy.
Ari got an 8.
And Tam has a 10.
So the turn order will be Luna going first, followed by Jasper Wick, Stony Tim, Tamarin, Ori, and lastly, Alistair. Also included on Jasper and Tim's turn are their respective gang members, but for the sakes of this, they won't really be too much involved in this combat. Luna, it is your turn.
Oh, crap. I was really hoping that would go slightly differently. Luna is going to move forward as quickly as he can to help out the lunatic that is his good old pal, Stony Tim.
Absolutely. There are members of the Barksdale boys who are moving in on you that aren't getting caught up in Stony Tim's guys who are fighting them off, so there will be a few of them that will be moving towards you as well, about four of them.
Okay, in which case, I'm going to move up, and I am going to... everything takes an action, so I'm going to try and kaplow on my good old buddy Jasper Wick.
Let's do it.
So... that's on a 15.
15 on Jasper Wick is a hit.
Is a hit, fantastic. So Luna sort of lunges forward, his arthritic wrists managing to slip from these restraints, and with surprising agility comes forward and slams forward a fist that sparks with small flecks of lightning. And he takes 5 lightning damage.
So as you you basically grab Jasper Wick and you send his sparks of lightning going off, you sense that whilst there's that ozone-y kind of burny smell which comes off from the lightning and the skin that kind of burns that usually happens, you see his skin doesn't really burn where it should. He like doesn't melt quite as much as he should be melting and just kind of like casts off the hand with his own. So that is Luna's turn. Jasper Wick, it is his turn. So he is going to lunge towards your good self, Luna, as you have sliced him up a little bit. And he's going to hit you on an 11 versus your armor class?
No.
Figured not. Followed by an 18 versus your armor class?
Unfortunately so, yes.
So he gives you a hit for 9 points of slashing damage as he kind of like cuts at you with his longsword. He pulls your hand lightning grasp off him and then just kind of slashes across himself to cut at you. He has made a second attack, so he is going to... Nice. He basically like dodges out of the way as he sees the next attack coming in from Stony Tim, who is going to attempt to hit him with his own wolf's head cane sword. Hits him on a 16, and Stony Tim deals 5 points of damage to Jasper Wick, and he says, "Fucking die, mate!" As he stabs him across the chest. All right, then. So, that is time for Tamarin to act.
In one very fluid motion, he slips his hand from the robe, takes his bow off his back, and draws an arrow, and concentrates extremely hard on hitting Jasper Wick as he casts Hunter's Mark.
Nice.
And draws the bowstring back for a 13 to hit.
13 isn't quite enough to hit, I'm afraid.
Damn.
Yeah, arrow just kind of whistles past him.
Gosh dang it.
End of your turn?
That's the end of my turn, yep.
All right, Ori.
Okay, so she will try to, I guess, you know, finesse her way out of the ropes. I doubt they were tied too tight because he did want us to jump out and attack. So we're still, like, standing there next to each other, kind of tied up though, right? Like,
right, you can like put yourselves out of your bonds. They're not they're basically very loose, so they're mostly there for just effect.
Yeah. So Ari will frantically look around, definitely not wanting to run up and hit this guy, and she'll look over to Alistair, who's next to her, and sort of sneakily loot his pockets and take out some sort of vial of something. She doesn't know what it is.
Okay.
And this is going to be, like, my kind of version of casting poison spray and just take it and sort of throw it.
All right, who do you want to throw it at?
At Jasper.
Okay.
And, yeah, he needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, nice. 11. It's actually a 10.
Perfect. Then, ha! He did bad.
He did bad.
He did bad. And he takes 12 poison damage.
Nice. So you just, like, splash acid over him, essentially. Nice. Once again, he doesn't melt quite as much as you'd like him to.
But seeing the explosion, Ari will sort of get scared by what she has just done and take the dash action and go backwards, like, towards the wall of the room or a door or something, just whatever's back.
Okay.
Can Alistair yell at her as she starts to run away? Go find the bucket.
She nods.
All right. Alistair's turn.
Is there room to get up to Jasper Wick, or is he pretty much surrounded?
He is pretty surrounded at this point, but there are reinforcements coming in by the dozen, really. As the guys from outside are being filtered in, and the guys from downstairs are hearing signs of a fight and coming up, and the rest of the guys in the room. So it's not long before there are going to be a lot of guys right on you, basically, as a whole of the Barksdale boys basically descend around their leader.
Since I can't get in close to him, I pull out my medallion of Sethanane, the moon medallion, and from across the room, lower my piercing light blue, ice blue eyes onto Jasper Wick, trying to catch his eye and start flipping the coin across the tops of my knuckles in a very hypnotic fashion and try to cast Hold Person.
Nice. Wisdom saving throw. Rolled an 11.
12. He's paralyzed.
Oh, nice. He just stands stock still, just like Dermish did previously.
I look at him just like, eyes on me. Nothing else matters. Look right into my eyes.
Nice. All right, time for the Barksdale boys who are coming in as reinforcements to take their turn. So a guy comes in with a sledgehammer to defend his boss and is probably just something that he's picked up outside and he is going to crack into Luna, who is closest to his boss right now, and come in with a charge for a 16 versus your armor class, Luna.
16 hits.
I had a feeling it might. So you take 7 points of bludgeoning damage as a sledgehammer just basically like cracks its way onto your arm and your shoulder. Definitely breaks something.
Yep. Oh, it really does.
Another guy is going to come in towards Tamrin. He's wielding a longsword, and he is going to have a crack at you on a 13 versus your armor class.
That hits.
Okay. A 13 hits, really?
Yeah.
God damn.
No, wait. Oh, no, just barely. No.
Okay. I was going to say, like, 13.
Oh, no. No, just barely get, makes it.
Yeah. Nice.
Does not hit. Barely does not hit.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
All right, dude's going to come in on Alistair of a Morningstar. This looks like a pretty brutal weapon as well. I say Morningstar, more so like a sheet of wood with nails in it that he is just going to, like, clobby around the head with. On a 24 versus your armor class.
Yeah, that's gonna hit.
Yeah, figured as much. So he slaps you for 8 points of damage. This wood just like cracks over your head, and he just shouts, "Fuck off, mate!" And bangs you over the head of it. All the while, of course, Stony Tim's guys are fighting off their own battles. They are like cutting out people's tongues, cutting off people's ears, blinding people. They are. You know, these guys are brutal fighters, basically. They have no qualms.
So I rolled a 10 on my constitution save, so I hold concentration, and nice. He is still paralyzed. So even though this guy has hit me, I have still able to keep this coin dancing across the back of my knuckles and keep Jasper eyes on me, pay no attention to the others.
It's like stuck staring at you. There are 4 guys in your list turn. You see another 2 coming directly towards you guys who are breaking through Stony Tim's at the moment. Excellent. Luna, top of the round. Jasper is paralyzed.
Not one to waste the upper hand and also very close to bleeding to death. Luna is going to try and pummel this guy.
Nice, you have advantage on his attack roll, and if you do hit, it is a critical hit.
15?
15 is pretty damn good. 15 is enough.
So that's a total of 11 damage, and then
nice.
I'm gonna spend a key point to flurry of blows and make two unarmed strikes as a bonus action.
Nice.
So I get two more. I've just got to hit. So an advantage, a 13 and a 20. So the first one
20
hits.
Is a hit.
And an 18, so I hit.
18 will do it.
So that is...
crits on both. Total of 33 points of damage, I think, this turn.
Damn!
Nice.
So Luna comes in, sees this guy, and just basically goes straight for his throat with a vicious chop.
He takes his like barrage of attacks, and he's left like stunned and bleeding afterwards, still paralyzed by Alistair's magic. It is his turn. He's paralyzed. He can't do anything, but he can make a save at the end of his turn. See if he can break free from whole person. On an 18, he breaks it.
He does.
So he has, comes back again, and he screams at Stony Tim, "Traitor!" And it is Tim's turn. He says, "Yeah," and stabs him. So Stony Tim is going to stab him with his, "Oh, natural 20, baby." And, Stony Tim, what would we do without you? He clobbers him runs him through for 10 points of damage. And he actually just run his sword right through him, through the stomach, basically, and skewers Jasper Wick onto that. And whilst Jasper Wick isn't dead, he just, like, pushes him off the sword like he were a vegetable on a kebab and throws him down onto the ground. He's, like, sputtering and bleeding. And Stony Tim is smiling. However, it is Tamarin, your turn at this point.
So there's the one guy who came after me.
Yeah, you got a guy with the sword who's on you at the moment.
Yeah, so I'm going to turn to him and draw my short sword and just kind of cut up at him. And
nice.
We'll see if that does a do. And that's a dirty 20.
Oh, very nice. That's a hit.
So that's 8 points of damage, and
nice.
As I'm cutting up, I'm going to need him to make... He needs to make a strength saving throw.
Pretty strong guy. We'll give it a go. Rolled an 11. I can only roll 11s on saving throws today.
All right, he just makes it. So Tam tries to bring these vines up out of the ground as he cuts up with his sword, but... in the frenzy of the fight, he becomes a little bit distracted, and he's still focusing on Jasper Wick, so they just kind of sputter out as they start to originate from the ground. They just wilt and die.
All right. Ori, you are running down the staircase at this point, correct?
Yes.
Down towards where the bucket is. You get down there. There are two guys who are running up towards the staircase towards you, and 30 feet away in a storage room with kegs and barrels, there is your bucket, which has been set down in ice next to the other kegs.
Okay.
There are other doors and entrances down here, but that's pretty much what you see as you enter into this place.
As an arcane trickster, I can cast Mage Hand, and I can make it totally invisible if I... have a successful sleight of hand check contested by their perception. So I want to try and cast that and just go and push the ice like straight down to the bottom with Mage Hand and make it explode from like where I'm standing.
All right, so they will roll a perception check and you can roll your sleight of hand. They rolled a 20.
So is the perception just to see whether or not they see it or not?
That's just to see if they see it, but it still casts, like, Mage Hand. And I also rolled a 20!
Oh, damn. All right, then let's roll off again, seeing as we got a tie.
come on, tie to the player, tie to the player!
Not going down without a fight!
No, come get out of here. This guy rolled a 12.
Oh my god.
This makes it more high stakes, come on. There we go.
20 again. 20s. Consistent 20s.
That's free. That's free dirty 20s out of four rolls. That's quite impressive. So, okay, so you mage hand it down.
Yeah, what I want to do is when I see them, like, coming at me, I'll, like, put my hands up and be like, oh, no, oh, I'm so small. But in reality, I'm casting this invisible mage hand, and it's going to just do just enough to push this ice down into the sodium dagger so they can cause the reaction.
All right. Alistair, roll me an arcana check. No reason.
Oh, here we go. How good was he? A 5.
Oh, that's quite miserable, isn't it?
It's very miserable.
Also, roll me, second roll is a nature check.
A 5.
And third roll is a medicine check.
Oh my god.
And a 23. I know my medicine.
You have made a healing bomb. It heals everyone in the room.
Jasper Wick is suddenly healed for 12d6.
So, free rolls are involved in the creation process of your bomb, which I only wanted to roll when you got to the bomb because you weren't sure how effective it was. So, yeah. So, Ori, you kind of, like, mage hand this thing down, and you see it kind of, like, blooming up with flames. It's not, like, super explosive. It doesn't, like, you know, ricochet up the whole building and everything blows up. However, it is large enough to start a large fire down here on the other barrels and kegs. And it's only a matter of time before that fire burns away into the alcohol and everything starts exploding. However, within 6 seconds, there isn't a gigantic explosion which tears through the whole place. So, less effective than you like, but give it a turn or two, and that thing is a ticking time bomb. So, that is... Was that an action to mage hand, Ori?
Yeah, it's an action.
Okay.
It's a cantrip.
Okay, so that is Ori's turn. Alistair, it's yours.
So I've got this guy with a sledgehammer who just hit me pretty hard. I've lost Jasper Wick, so I can't get near him. So let me do my roll, and then we'll describe what happens.
All right.
On the guy with the
sledgehammer.
With a Morningstar, I'm sorry.
Okay, Morningstar.
Board with all the nails in it.
Yeah.
Does an 11 hit him?
An 11 is not enough to hit him, I'm afraid.
So yeah, Alistair, as he loses Jasper Wick's eye, goes to put away his this coin, and once sort of fumbles it as he tries to tuck it away. And by the time he pulls out Mercy to come swinging around and try to hit this guy, unfortunately, the guy is no longer there, and he misses with
All
Mercy.
All right. Time for the Barkstyle boys to take their turn. The guy with the effectively sledgehammer is going to take a pot at Luna. Natural 20 with a sledgehammer, I'm afraid.
Luna, just like, he basically gets in the hits and then turns and he's so open.
Yeah.
There's just nothing he can do.
Luna takes 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
You didn't need to roll. I am so injured.
So, Luna is knocked out?
Luna is very much knocked out.
Alright, so he just, like, clobbers him with a sledgehammer, and Luna just collapses down onto the ground. Turns over to... guy with a bow is going to appear. He is going to shoot, and he's going to take a shot at Tamron. He's just hurt his friend, so... Tam, a 15 versus your armor class. Pretty sure is a hit. So, Tamron, you're going to take... 9 points of damage. Max damage on that one, I'm afraid.
Yay.
This guy just singles you out in the melee and plants an arrow right into your chest, basically. Owie. Other guy with the Morning Star, the kind of nail board, is going to take a hit. 5 is a miss. Sorry, 10 is a miss. And then finally, the guy with the sword, who Tamron didn't quite kill but injured quite badly, rolled a 7 on his attack roll and also misses. So luckily for you guys, a less than effective round for the Barksdale boys. However, it's a tough round 3, and Luna, it's time for you to roll me a death saving throw.
Oh, buddy. Oh, it's a 5. Oh, it's a 5.
Oh, that's bad. What a shame. Dear, oh dear. All right, that is Luna's turn. 1 death saving fail. Stony Tim at this point drags up Jasper to his feet and places his sword over his neck, holds up his head, and is like, you better all fucking throw your weapons down. And he's going to roll an intimidation check. He's an intimidating guy. Rolled a 12, however, in the melee of the fight, they're not really paying enough attention to him. Strange Tim doesn't manage to get the attention of the Barksdale boys. Tamrin, it is your turn.
So as he's just cut up at this fellow standing next to him, who's recently got him back, he just kind of drops his short sword, takes out another arrow, and at very close range, he's going to attempt to just shoot this guy.
Nice.
On a nat 20.
Oh, baby, that'll do it.
So let's see. Let's do double damage to this guy.
He is already looking pretty wounded from your short sword attack. So how do you want to kill this guy?
So as Tam has, like, he's knocked his short sword out of his hand, so he takes this arrow out of his back and essentially just shoots him right through the eye as the tip of the arrow kind of exits out the back of his skull.
Nice. He just falls down dead where he stands. Ori.
What I'll do now is back away from where the fire is starting. So what about the two guys that were coming towards me? Are they, like, engulfed in the fire, or are they
still they're still coming?
Coming
up the staircase towards you, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is sort of fumble around on my belt and just find some other random vial of some sort and kind of shake it up and, like, toss it down and see what happens. It worked for me once. Let's try it again. And I'm going to try and
throw
cast
some onion broth at them.
This is a garlic powder. anyway, I'm going to try and cast Ray of Sickness.
All right, see if I can get down to the sickness.
So, yeah, I'm going to make a spell attack. 19.
19's enough.
I don't think that this affects two. I think it only affects one.
If it says target, it's one. If it says anything else, yeah, it might be more.
Yeah, so it's one. So only one of them, but still. Okay, and then he needs to also make a constitution saving throw.
He rolled a 4.
And now he is poisoned until the end of my next turn.
Okay.
And he's going to take 9 damage.
Nice. Alrighty. He looks severely wounded by this vial which you basically poured over him. And as his skin melts away, he screams out in agony. Are you moving as well, correct?
I'm still going back, and I'll even use my cunning action to dash and go up quicker.
Nice.
Or disengage, probably, and go up, because I don't want them to hit me.
Yeah. Okay, Alistair.
Alistair has this guy who's harrying him right in front of him, and as well as sees that his friend, his family, Luna, has passed out, and, you know, as a grave domain plague doctor, cleric, he can see that his life force is draining out of him quickly. I am going to cast Spare the Dying, which, as a grave domain, can be done at a range of 30 feet and as a bonus action. So I just look over and I sort of see Luna's spirit attempting to try to leave out. Even without his mask, he seems to still have that otherworldly sight and just goes, "It is not your time yet. Get back in there." And basically forces Luna's spirit back into his body, which stabilizes him.
Nice. So.
And then for my action, I am going to attack this guy. I pull out my short sword and try to attack this guy who is here in front of me with harrying me. On a 13, does Mr. Morningstar take the hit?
13 is a hit.
And it does 5 piercing damage as basically I look out and yell at Luna and then swing back around and quickly draw my short sword and shove it up into his stomach.
Very nice. All right, the Barksdale boys take their turn. All right, guy with the bow is going to shoot Tamrin. He's sticking on his target. A 6 is not going to be enough to hit Tamrin, however. The guy with the sword is, of course, dead. Guy with the sledgehammer sees Alistair do something weird with Luna's body, who he assumes he's just killed, and moves over to take a swing with that on a 24 versus your armor class, Alistair.
Yes.
Figured it might. In which case, Alistair, you take 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Yikes. Okay.
And then the guy with the Morning Star, the kind of board of the nails in, whacks you on a natural one and just completely fluffs it, dropping his board as he goes. At the end of that round, as Ori's running up the staircase, the group of you are fighting in his melee. Stony Tim has Jasper Wick just where he wants him. I'd like everybody to roll a dexterity saving throw.
Oh,
aside from Luna, who is already unconscious and therefore cannot make a save. Luckily, he's stabilized her.
I rolled a nat 1 on my dexterity saving throw.
Oh, that's good news.
I rolled a 22.
That's even better news. That's terrible news.
And another 22.
So, as the fire downstairs burns away through the kegs of ale, at last makes contact with the alcohol, and a huge explosion just ripples and ricochets its way through Jasper Wick's compound, sending up a blaring, almost sun level, it seems like, of a blaze into the compound, throwing everyone off their feet, except from Ori and Tamarin. Alistair is sent flying across the room on a natural one, and will take an additional 20 points of damage, both from the fire and from the impact of slamming into the wall, as he is just thrown off of himself and the rest of the Barksdale boys, and he is just slammed into a wall and caught on fire, landing just, you know, with his body down on the ground.
Yeah, Alistair is down.
Yeah. Luna is similarly just like chucked as well, as he is thrown across and basically lands somewhere near Alistair. As the rubble and ruin from this place begins to kind of tear itself down, the building like collapses slightly. Some of the roof begins to fall down in the area of the explosion, and the fire just kind of blooms outwards. After about 30 seconds of the fire, those Barksdale boy members who weren't immediately eviscerated or thrown from their feet and knocked unconscious just flee the scene. And Stony Tim is there. He is holding Jasper Wick still by the hair. He has not managed miraculously to be thrown off his feet whatsoever. His cane is like well planted in the ground and he's standing there. Some of his hair has been burnt off. Some of the fur coat has just been like completely burnt away, and some of his face is even burnt up his throat as well, as is Jasper Wick, who is standing there with blood dripping down his face into his eyes, and he is like caught on fire as well. And as you have won the battle of this compound, Stony Tim kind of turns and says, "What the fuck was in that bucket?" And he is like looking over to where Alistair is, and he's like, he just like throws Jasper Wick down onto the ground and picks up a couple of his men who are still alive. He like points his sword dangerously at Ori and Tamarin. He's like, "What the fuck was that?"
Ori looks extremely confused and says, "We showed you it was
well, I didn't think it was going to blow out the whole fucking place. Fucking me."
"Well, I don't think we knew that either, but it did help and we did win. So I think now we just need to get out."
"It fucking hell, we already had fucking the guy. Jeez, fuck. Oh, hey."
And he's kind of like puts his hands across his face. He's like, "Fuck. Hell, fucking. All right, well, let's look on the fucking bright side of things, shall we?" He kind of looks back at LeBlaze. "That's fucking bright. And on the other hand, we fucking have Jasper Wink and we fucking won, don't we? So I guess everything's fucking brilliant. Should see if your mates are alive. They look pretty fucking dead."
Yeah.
Tam's gone. He's gone too, Alistair. And he, with what little knowledge he has of what he's seen Alistair do, he casts Cure Wounds.
From outside, by the way, you hear the screams and pandemonium going on from everyone outside as they realize that there is a fire in the city. However, they know probably, you know, best well to stay away from Jasper Wick's place. And members of the Barksdale boys who survived are like picking themselves up at this point and just like running out And Stony Tim does nothing to stop him with him and his men, including Bucket Boy Bill, who looks to have survived the incident.
Okay, so that's for 4 points of health. So we managed to just do a little bit of patching up to get you back to a state where you can...
As soon as Alistair comes to, he looks for Luna, knowing that Luna was in dire straits. And is Luna close by?
He is, yeah. He's not far from you. His body was
flung. That Ari, while Tamron was doing that, Ari would come over to Luna and do anything she could. Like, she doesn't have any healing, but she does have prestidigitation that she can use to clean something. So if there are any wounds that, like, need something like that, like, if we could flavor it that way, where she's able to sort of clean the wounds with that and maybe do a medicine check.
Sure, you could roll a medicine check to, like, stabilize his condition, I suppose. He has been put under the spell of dying.
So Alistair rolls over and barely able to move himself. You see his hands start working these burns Luna has suffered, you know, all these slits and stuff. And you see his hands moving almost so fast. And as they're moving, you've seen sort of the blue aura emanate from the mask before and heal at a distance, but you've never seen it flow directly out of Alistair's hands into a person that he's touching. And as a grave domain, basically when you bring back someone from zero, it automatically goes for the maximum amount that's possible to be rolled on the dice. So at a level 2, that would make this be a 12. So he would actually get healed for 18 hit points as you see this energy flow out of Alistair to sort of yank Luna back from death's door.
Nice. And you watch as Luna kind of comes back, stuttering and breathing raggedly from his ruined state. His body is still a mess. Multiple broken bones that will need to be fused back together by the looks of things, by the force of the impact, and a fair amount of burn damage as well, which Alistair will also be a victim of from this explosion. It's like a fatty, greasy explosion as well. So it's not a normal fire, I suppose. There is an accelerant there, so it is going to be quite a painful experience over the next few days or any burns that you guys have. But he is alive.
Luna looks up and doesn't have that clarity in his eyes at all. He's completely, he's in shock. He looks up and just sees a silhouette above him and reaches up towards it and says, "Banif, is that you?"
Alistair, actually, at this point, probably can't speak as he's sitting with the burns on 4 hit points. It took all of his energy, and probably he's still working on Luna at this time. And as the old crow often did, he has gone silent, so you don't hear an answer back. A reassuring hand on your shoulder that you can interpret however you want. As Alistair continues to work, trying to just get your guts back on the insides.
Luna sort of rests his hand, reaches for a shoulder or something to hold on to, and having no strength at all, tries to bring Alistair close and says, "Brother, we must leave. This is never going to stop. He'll always be out there." And then his eyes just seem to roll back in his head, and he quite blissfully passes out but breathes calmly.
Alistair doesn't know what to make of it as he just continues his work and sort of assesses his own condition, knowing that, "Tamron, I don't think I can walk. I think my leg's broken in it. Certainly have several ribs as well."
"Let me know what I need to do to help anything. You are the one who is more knowledgeable about this."
"Yes, but if it weren't for you, I don't think. While I was out, I saw Luna leave us. I was only able to catch the last shreds of him to put back inside. You saved us both. You saved us all. And Alistair passes out.
Ari will run over to Stony Tim and just like frantically look up at him, kind of similar to how she did when she was looking for help for her parents. And she's like freaking out and saying, can you get Bucket Boy and you and you pick up Alistair and you go pick up Luna and take them out of here? We're in a burning building.
Sweetheart, this is our fucking burning building, all right?
But we can't carry them back and we need your help right now.
Why do we need to fucking carry them anyway, sweetheart? If they died, they died. You know, if you live by the fucking sword, you die by the fucking sword, all right?
She grabs his hand and says, this is not something that we chose, and we just need your help. Do something to save someone for once. And she's going to cast Charm Person.
Ooh.
With her one spell slot she got left.
Is that a charisma saving throw for Stony Tim?
Yeah, it is a wisdom saving throw.
Rolled a 17. He kind of looks at you and he says, sweetheart, at some point or another, we all make a choice, yeah? All made choices to be here. Look, we'll carry him out somewhere outside, but it's not like we're all fucking trained either, sweetheart, is it?
I know, I can't move them. Thank you. And she like jumps up and hugs him and then runs back.
Yeah, he's like, fucking hell, what the fuck is wrong with these ones? And he kind of looks around, he's like, yeah, fucking Bucket Boy, take him out. And they will kind of like basically carry them as if they were bodies and like chuck them outside into the, you know, just outside the burning compound. So it's not like anything is going to fall down on them immediately. And Stony Tim says, all right, lads, have a look around, see what stuff he was up to around here, shall we? Jasper Wick is knocked out. He's not dead, but Stony Tim has him by his side. As you come outside with the unconscious bodies of Luna and Alistair, there are a couple of guys that are watching.
So just before we leave, Tam stands up and takes just a quick look around in this pile of treasure that's in the throne room, and sees if he sees the glint of Bander Derwell's knife anywhere in there.
Roll me a perception check.
17. Oh, nope, 9. Sorry, I read the wrong one. No, there we go.
Nice try. Yeah.
That went really well, and then not so much.
Not really.
It's weird. Like, the stuff that is around this place isn't really your common, like, you know, piles of gold and swords and weapons. You don't spot Bander Derwell in particular. It's like a collection of, like, porcelain dolls and children's toys and stuff that is littered around this place after the explosion. Some of it might have started in here, some of it might have ended up in here from the explosion. You're not really sure where all of this stuff came from, because there's like rubble in here as well, but there are a bunch of like burnt wooden toys that are around here as well.
So Tam walks past Stony Tim, and as he's passing, he just says, we will take our friends home and let them rest for the night. But we will come back tomorrow to see if we can find our friend Donovar.
All right, I'll see if he's downstairs. I sent the lads down there. Probably find him in a minute. If you want to hang around for a bit.
He looks at Ari and is very much just kind of focused on taking Alistair and Luna back.
Yeah. A few moments later, one of the men under Stony Tim's command kind of comes up and whispers in his ear something, and Stony Tim listens and he says, what the fuck? It looks very concerned.
Tim looks at him.
He kind of runs a hand across his temple and he's like, seems like the only thing down here, well, wasn't just alcohol they was keeping down there.
The prisoners.
Something like that. Kind of picks up one of the children's toys. Yeah. No wonder he wouldn't let fucking anyone down there.
Tam's face
becomes a mess of agony as he remembers back to a few weeks before when he met Baron Jering and looks around at the pile of dolls and the weight of the building around him and the presence of what is in the basement makes him sick and his stomach drops.
You also remember when you met with Jasper Wick and he said, "What can I get you? Weapons? Coin? Girls?" And Stony Tim places a hand on your shoulder and says, "Some things might be best left unknown. If you catch my drift. It's a bad business, son. Very fucking bad business."
Tim's head just drops and he is caught up again in the weight of constantly seeming to meet these people who are corrupt by their business. He turns and just says, "We'll be back in the morning," and goes outside with Ari to help carry Alistair and Luna back to the safe house.
And that is where we'll wrap up tonight's episode of Turncloaks. Oh.
Are we allowed to say a four-letter C-word? Because, like, I have...
We'll just get bleeped.
I have some very strong words about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to scar Alistair forever. Let's make a bomb. Yeah, a bomb. Yeah.
Let's make a grease bomb.
Well, that was fun. We're going to wrap up tonight's episode of Turncloaks. Yeah, let's go around, get some thoughts, feelings from the cast, and of course, we'll read out one of your 5-star reviews here on iTunes. Let's start with Joseph, who's just made a worrying discovery.
Moral of the story, there is no victory in Turncloaks. Even when you think you've won, you've lost an
Stony
even more
Tim
important
won.
Battle. Yeah, sure. Good for Stony Tim.
Yeah, good luck.
But it was definitely a good episode. We're definitely chugging along with dealing with the difficult stuff. But anyways, you can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast. Thank you guys for listening.
And Sydney.
Yes. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of those things at Sydneyak, and I'm also the Dungeon Master for WonderQuest Podcast, which you can follow on Twitter at WonderQuestPod.
Cool Squall.
Yeah. That was a close one. I forgot that Tam had healing, because otherwise I don't know what we were going to do, because that was ugly. Grave Domain. I'm Tall Squall. You can find me all over the internet at Tall Squall, and on my Twitter page you can find links to all the other things that I do, including the campaign that I DM for, that we run 100% for charity on Saturdays at 2:00 on my Twitch channel. Thanks.
And Luna.
I should have known something was wrong. I've never laughed so much at, like, the beginning of this episode with Bucket Bill and the amazing sort of exploits of Not Tiny Tim.
And Bucket Bill.
Yeah, indeed. It was great, and that ending kind of took the wind out of my sails. So you can find me on Encounter Roleplay, doing Encounter Roleplay things, and fuck you, Will. Fuck you.
So, let us read out one of your 5-star reviews. Of course, if you want to listen to more Turncloaks and hear about more hijinks and shenanigans, you can follow us at TurncloaksPod on Twitter or at EncounterRP for all of the stuff. That Encounter Roleplay produces other podcasts, Twitch streams, YouTube series, and website articles. But let's read out a review from Chris _ a bunch of letters that I'm not going to read out. But Chris, if you're out there, you know who you are. The title is Just Incredible. It's short, but it's sweet. Truly literal. That's not correct. Let's read out this 5-star review. The title is just incredible. Truly literary storytelling with depth, emotion, and authentic characterization. The best roleplay podcast I've ever picked up. Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate your kind words. And if you want your review read out on iTunes or on Stitcher, just leave one for us and we will get to it, my friend. But until next time, everybody, try not to draw too many nat ones because we want to get blown across buildings with the grease bombs that we've made when you do. Good night, everybody.
Night.